No. Welcome and have a blessing to all your precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording and in other devices, welcome and have a blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, February 10, 2024. This is our review section of our part 10 of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary of our lesson 401. I would like to apologize, dear ones, for delaying. And we are going to give our dear brother the chance to bless us once more with the Tiny Tot theme song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Dear brother Dick, the mic is, your mic is closed.
Oh, now I've got it open. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little ones held by their parents or elder sibling would like to open this section of the review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sixth day, show thy neighbor, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. And please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. And please protect the Sabbath in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, we are going to take the chance to hear all the little blessings that the little one has been to their parents, their household, or any place in their life. May you share. May you open the mic to do so, dear ones.
Blessings, everyone. For mommy's and daddy's little blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma for always wanting to learn more. Just this past week, they have been learning a song that they heard from Hermano Santiago in the Spanish study, a song that Brother Dick had taught them when I wake up in the morning. And it's been every morning they get up really early to go to school, and it's winter time, so it's a little dark and dreary out, and so they're not in the bestest of mood. So the Lord impressed me to teach them that song so that they can wake up and sing it and be in a more grateful spirit to have received the blessing of seeing another day. And so they have been learning it, and hopefully one day they'll be able to both sing it for you all that to share what they have learned. When next Sabbath, maybe you'll sing it by God's grace.
Praise the Lord. If they have it ready, we don't mind to be able to hear it, but you know, whenever they are, you could be able to let us know, and we will definitely put a little slot that they can be able to share it. It will be a blessing indeed. Is there any other?
They're okay. Asking now if they could please sing it.
Okay, sure.
Please bear in mind that they're still learning it, but we're gonna try. Okay, sure. Go ahead.
When I wake up in the morning and I think of the day, I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I roll out of bed and my feet hit the floor, I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, what I love you, I just wanted you to know. Give my heart, my will, my love, and I give it all to you. Take my life and use it, guide my feet along the way.
May my words, my mind renew your spirit, fill me each day.
When I see the morning sunlight and I see the impression, I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When I spend time in that prayer,
in God's word, talks to Jesus and pray.
I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, Lord, I love you. I just wanted you to know. In my heart, my love, my self, and I give it all to you. Take my life and use it, I must heal along the way.
May your words, my mind, renew your fire,
fill me each day.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I want to learn that particular song. You have it in Spanish? Mm-hmm. That will be really beautiful. Is there any other dear little ones that would like to share? Any parents that would like to share the blessings of the little one in their home as well? You may do so, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are coming in. It's story time, dear ones, for the review of our book, The Story About Jesus, chapter 16, entitled In Gethsemane, part 4. And I will pass the mic to our dear brother for the review.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the books of Matthew and Luke, Matthew 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And Luke 22:41-45. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Next slide, please. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Matthew 26:42. That's what we need to pray, is thy will be done. The agony of this prayer forced drops of blood from his pores. Again, he sought or looked for the disciples' sympathy. He went to them. And again, he found them sleeping. His presence aroused them. They looked upon his face with fear, for it was stained with blood. They could not understand the anguish of mind which his face expressed. The third time he sought the place of prayer. A horror of great darkness overcame him. He had lost the presence of his Father. Without this, he feared that in his human nature he could not endure the test. The third time he prayed the same prayer as before. Angels long to bring relief, but it may not be. Next slide, please. The Son of God must drink this cup, or the world will be lost forever. He sees the helplessness of man. He sees the power of sin. The woes of a doomed world pass in review before him. He makes the final decision. He will save man at any cost to himself. He has left the courts of heaven, where all is purity, happiness, and glory, to save one lost sheep, the one world that has fallen by transgression, and he will not turn from his purpose. His prayer now breathes only submission. If this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. The Savior now falls dying to the ground. No disciple is there to place his hand tenderly beneath his head, beneath his master's head, and bathe that brow, marred indeed more than the sons of men. Christ is alone. Of all the people, there are none with him. This comes from the story of Jesus, pages 104 and 105.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we'll be reviewing part 5 of our lesson entitled In Gethsemane, in a Tiny Tot Lesson Book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place February 17, 2024. And I will pass the review question to our dear brother.
All right, in review, what did Jesus say after, except I drink it?
What?
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
In other words, if you want me to, I'll do it. I don't want to do it myself. This is a terrible ordeal, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Why did the three disciples look upon Jesus' face with fear?
They will be done. The answer is, it was said.
Stained.
Stained with
blood.
Blood. Blood.
It was stained with blood. He was in such anguish that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and that ran down his face, and they didn't know what to think about him. They'd never seen his face bloody before. What would happen if the Son of God, Jesus, didn't drink this cup?
the world will be lost forever.
That's right. When it says drink this cup, it means accept the death on the cross that was ahead of him. Human nature wants to stay alive. God put that in us. And when something comes to cause our death, if we can hold it off, we will. We don't want to die. When I was a little fellow, I used to think, oh, Molly, I don't want to die. Grandma died, you know. Oh, I don't want to die. I want to know what happens tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. But you know, the older you get, when you realize how terrible the tomorrows are and are going to be, you don't feel the same way about it. But praise the Lord, he drank the cup. He accepted the punishment for our sins. And then now he wants to take us to heaven with him. Thank you for participating.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, dear brother, for sharing. It's time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature. And our topic is Mom of the Bible Review. And our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
Turn your mic on. Tell him to turn his mic on. Josh, turn your mic on.
Looks like there's probably a technical difficulty. Let's give him a moment.
I think a difficulty is he forgot to push the button.
Hear us? Can you hear us?
I guess we're getting the silent treatment today. We got to learn to read lips. That's all there is to it.
My apologies, everyone. I forgot to turn my mic on. Okay. Verses 15 to 24 says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Research, give me this water. As Jesus spoke of the living water, the woman looked upon him with wondering attention. He had aroused her interest and awakened her desire for the gift of which he spoke. She perceived that it was not the water of Jacob's well to which he referred, for this she used continually drinking and thirsting again. Sir, she said, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The desire of ages, page 187. Then in kindness, Jesus taught the woman about salvation as they talked together. And above this picture of the well, says, living water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. John 4:14. And in this picture, reading about tigers, it says, the Bengal tiger lives in northern India and Southeast Asia. It has a bright reddish tan color with dark stripes. And that's what's originally given in its orange color. Might add. Anyway, the largest member of the cat family, the tiger can, in its Siberian variety, attain a length of over 10 feet, including tail, and a weight of some 650 pounds. It's a solitary nocturnal hunter in forests and swamps. It swims well, covering large territories of up to 400 square miles. In this diagram of a tiger, whose scientific name is Panthera tigris, are the large rounded ears, the golden coat with black stripes, yellow eyes, whiskers, long muscular legs, long tail, long sharp claws that are pulled in when non-use, which are attractive. In this next diagram is a skunk. On the right is the information about it. It says here, the skunk is a small solitary carnivore that lives in North and South America. They use their strong claws to dig for grubs, mice, and scorpions. Skunks can expel noxious, oily, and gland secretions and hit a target 15 feet away. And in the diagram of the hooded skunk, whose scientific name is Mephitis macrora, the two color phases. Above is the long, thicker hair on back of head and neck, and black with white stripes, so completely white and black, white back and tail, two faces. And below the other picture is the long bushy tail, a pointed head, the small sharp clawed feet, and glands under tail, oh, that contain noxious oil to spray predators. This next being is about the wolf. It says here that most wolves belong to the species called the gray wolf. There is a red wolf, but there are hardly any left. But they are endangered, you see. And continuing, there are two main groups of gray wolves, the timber wolf and the tundra wolf. Can you guess where the timber wolf lives? How about the tundra wolf? Yes, the timber wolf lives in wooded areas, while the tundra wolf, or Arctic white wolf, which is his other name, makes a home on the treeless plain of the northern Arctic. It can remind us how Jesus made his home on this sinful world. It seems that wolves can live in almost any climate, but are almost never found in deserts or tropical or forests. They seem to be able to adapt to unusual areas like the Arctic. Jesus showed on man how to live in a world full of sin. No matter what our circumstances or we can strength to endure any test. I have given them thy word, and the word and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. John 17:14-15. Some people in the world may dislike wolves as some do not like Christians, but we can and find comfort in the promise that Jesus will keep us safe as we live on this forbidden earth. And in this diagram of the main wolf, whose scientific name is Chrysocyan brachyurus, here's the large pointed ears, the long pointed snout, the thick mane across their shoulders, the white throat, the long reddish fur, the black fur on the legs, feet, shoulders, and face, a long tail, white tip of its tail, and the very long legs. Continue our reference reading for the mammal topic of our Tiny Tots lesson. Review. Chapter 19 at Jacob's Well. Part 3. She could deny nothing, but she tried to evade all mention of a subject so unwelcome. With deep reverence, she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Then, hoping to silence conviction, she turned the point to religious controversy. If this was a prophet, surely he could give her instruction concerning these matters that had been so long disputed. Desire of Ages, page 181, paragraph 1. Patiently, Jesus permitted her to lead the conversation whither she would. Meanwhile, he watched for the opportunity of again bringing the truth home to her heart. "Our Father is worshipped in this mountain," she said, "and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Just in sight was Mount Gerizim. Its temple was demolished and only the altar remained. The place of worship had been a subject of contention between the Jews and the Samaritans. Some of the ancestors of the latter people had once belonged to Israel, but because of their sins, the Lord suffered them to be overcome by an idolatrous nation. For many generations, they were intermingled with idolaters, whose religion gradually contaminated their own. It is true they held that their idols were only to remind them of the living God, the ruler of the universe. There, thus, the people were led to reverence their graven images. The Desire of Ages, page 188, paragraph 2. When the temple at Jerusalem was rebuilt in the days of Ezra, the Samaritans wished to join the Jews in its erection. This privilege was refused them, and a bitter animosity sprang up between the two peoples. The Samaritans built a rival temple on Mount Gerizim. Here they worshipped in accordance with the Mosaic ritual, though they did not wholly renounce idolatry, but disasters attended them. Their temples destroyed by their enemies, and they seemed to be under a curse, yet they still clung to their traditions and their forms of worship. They would not acknowledge the temple at Jerusalem as the house of God, nor admit that the religion of the Jews was superior to their own. The Desire of Ages, page 188, paragraph 3. Continuing. In answer to the woman, Jesus said, "Believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Jesus had shown that he was free from Jewish prejudice against the Samaritans. Now he sought to break down the prejudice of this Samaritan against the Jews. While referring to the fact that the faith of the Samaritans was corrupted with idolatry, he declared that the great truths of redemption had been committed to the Jews, and that from among them the Messiah was to appear. In the sacred writings, they had a clear presentation of the character of God and the principles of his government. Jesus classed himself with the Jews as those to whom God had given a knowledge of himself. The Desire of Ages, page 188, paragraph 4. He desired to lift the thoughts of his hearer above matters of form and ceremony. On questions of controversy, "The hour cometh," he said, "and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Desire of Ages, page 189, paragraph 1. Hearers declare the same truth that Jesus had revealed to Nicodemus when he said, "Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3, margin. Not by seeking a holy mountain or a sacred temple are men brought into communion with heaven. Religion is not to be confined to external forms of ceremonies. The religion that comes from God is the only religion that will lead to God. In order to serve him aright, we must be born of the divine spirit. This will purify the heart and renew the mind, giving us a new capacity for knowing and loving God. It will give us a will and obedience to all his requirements. This is true worship. This is the fruit of a working of the spirit. By the spirit, every sincere prayer is indicted, and such prayer is acceptable to God. Wherever a soul reaches out after God, there the Spirit's working is manifest, and God will reveal himself to that soul. For such worshipers he is seeking. He waits to receive them and to make them his sons and daughters. The Desire of Ages, page 189, paragraph 2. Review. Question 1 is, what did the woman ask Jesus? You can find the answer in John 14:15. Question 2, what does the word kindness mean? And 3, do you have salvation in Jesus? Those are 3 bonus questions. And I'll turn the mic back to Matt.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Welcome to all of those brethren that are coming in. Our opening song is a hymn of our theme of our part 10 of our chapter entitled Cover With His Life. Hymnal, you will find it in number 412. If you'd like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Look upon Jesus, sinless is he, Father impute his life unto me, my life was called, my sinner woe, cover with his life whiter than snow. Cover with his life whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life was scarlet, my sins are woe. Cover with his life whiter than snow.
Deep are the wounds transgression had made. Red are the stains, my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee. Save from the law that now judges me. Cover with his life whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his blood, whiter than snow.
Lord.
Longing this way, pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe of white snow. Lord, I accept it,
leaving my own glory, gladly I wear thy pure life alone. Covered with his light, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sins and woe. Covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Reconciled
by his death of my sin, justified by his life pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returneth my Lord, covered with his light, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sins in woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If anyone would like to be able to open the review section with prayer, little ones, mommies and daddies, or even our guests, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Please protect us. Please protect the word that we're going to learn. People in the field are here, and the people that's not here, they can come back to the Sabbath and keep the text. Everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to say amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, and also chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, margin. This scripture song is taken from Sunlight Sound Studio, entitled Behold He Cometh, of a memory verse CD.
Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him.
Amen. Indeed. What have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to reread our Sabbath lesson from last Sabbath. And if you have any comments or anything that you would like to ask, dear ones, we can do it at the very end of our lesson, part 10. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? We are in the Desire Ages, page 756. May you unmute your mic.
Continuing.
When the
loud
come on
cry
it to is
finished.
Came. Or from the lips of
Christ
the high
priest
were
officiating
in the
temple
it side wide
sit up
it
was
the
hour
of the
evening to
sacrifice the sheep
lamb
representing Christ. Father?
No, we're right here.
Had been
good. Brought
to be
slain.
Clothed in his
significant
and
beautiful
cross
your old dress
priest
dress
the
now what is he
priest
good
stood
with lifted knife as did Abraham when he was about to slay his son S-O-N is son and S-U-N is son.
The Desire of Ages, page 756. With intense interest, the people were looking on. The earth trembles and quakes, for the Lord himself draws near. With a rending noise, the inner veil of the temple is torn from top to bottom by an unseen hand, thrown open to the gaze of the multitude, a place once filled with the presence of God. In this place, the Shekinah had dwelt. Next slide, please.
Continuing,
Here God had manifested his glory above the mercy seat. No one but the high priest ever lifted the veil separating this apartment from the rest of the temple. He entered in once a year to make an atonement for the sins of the people. But lo, this veil is rent in twain. The most holy place of the earthly sanctuary is no longer sacred. Desire of Ages, 756, paragraph 5. On the side bottom, it does say the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Thank you.
We are in the Desire Ages, page 757. Who would like to take the next paragraph there once? May you unmute your mic.
All is terror and confusion. The priest is about to slay the victim, but the knife drops from his nerveless hand, and the lamb escapes. Type has met anti-type in the death of God's son. The great sacrifice has been made. The way unto the holiest is laid open. A new and living way is prepared for all. No longer need sinful, sorrowing humanity wait the coming of the high priest. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading. Henceforth, the Savior was to officiate as priest and advocate in the heaven of heavens. It was as if a living voice had spoken to the worshipers. There is now an end to all sacrifices and offerings for sin. The Son of God is come according to his word. Lo, I commend the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. By his own blood he entereth in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And this is referenced from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, and then chapter 9, verse 12. And this is taken from the Desire of Ages, page 757, paragraph 1.
Amen. Dear ones, this chapter only had two paragraphs, and I have also added a reference reading for the parents that they can be able to sit with their children just in case they want a little bit in depth. So we ended our chapter and we are just going to give this reference from Lift Him Up. It's entitled Nature Sympathize with His Suffering. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones?
Faith and hope trembled in the agonies of Christ because God had removed the assurance he had heretofore given his beloved son of his appropriation and acceptance. The Redeemer of the world then relied upon the evidences which had hitherto strengthened him, that his father accepted his labors and was pleased with his work. In his dying agony, as he yields up his precious life, he has by faith alone to trust in him whom it has never been his joy to obey. He is not cheered with clear, bright rays of hope on the right hand nor on the left. All is enshrouded in oppressive gloom. Lift Him Up, page 400, page 42. Paragraph.
Amid the awful darkness which is left by sympathizing nature, the Redeemer drains the mysterious cup even to its dregs. Denied even bright hope and confidence in the triumph which will be his in the future, he cries with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. He is acquainted with the character of his Father, with his justice, his mercy, his great love, and his submission. And in submission, he drops into his hand. Amid the convulsion of nature, are heard by the amazed spectators the dying words of the man of Calvary. Lift Him Up, page 42, paragraph 3.
Lift him up, page 42. Nature sympathized with the suffering of its author. The heaving earth, the red rocks proclaimed that it was the Son of God who died. There was a mighty earthquake. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. Terror seized the executioners and spectators as they beheld the sun veiled in darkness and felt the earth shake beneath them and saw or heard the rending of the rocks. The mocking jeering of the chief priests and elders were hushed as Christ commended his spirit into the hands of his father. The astonished throng began to withdraw and grope their way in the darkness to the city. They smote upon their breasts as they went, and in terror, speaking scarcely above a whisper, said among themselves, "It is an innocent person that had been murdered. What if indeed he is, as he asserted, the Son of God?" Lift him up, page 42, paragraph 4.
Jesus did not yield up his life till he had accomplished the work which he came to do, and exclaimed with his departing breath, "It is finished." Satan was then defeated. He knew that his kingdom was lost. Angels rejoiced as the words were uttered, "It is finished." The great plan of redemption, which was dependent on the death of Christ, had been thus far carried out. And there was joy in heaven that the sons of Adam could, through a life of obedience, be finally exalted to the throne of God. Oh, what love, what amazing love, that brought the Son of God to earth to be made sin for us, that we might be reconciled to God and elevated to a life with him in his mansions in glory. Testimonies, Volume 2, paragraphs 210 to 212. From Lift Them Up, page 42, paragraph 5. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear parents, helping with the reading. And remember this verse, dear ones, and the scripture. Be sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? We have the sixth question that we held from last Sabbath. And for those that are not able to see it, we are going to read it out, that if you're moved to share your answer or any comment, you can unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you would like to take the first one, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Jesus.
Wait, Linda, you asked a question. Who is the main characters? Okay.
Jesus, priests, and the disciples.
The main idea for this section is Christ crucified on the cross, and it showed how nature responded to Christ's death, and how the Father's spirit was withdrawn as well.
The answer to question three, where did the story take place? Golgotha, and even in Jerusalem, in the Shekinah. My answer to question four, when did the story begin? The answer is the priest officiating the temple during the cry, "It is finished."
I would like to make an attempt at number five. Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for us by taking the debt that was deserving to us for our sins. And we must make also the sacrifice by giving all to Christ, giving all for Christ and for the kingdom of God.
My answer is six. The question six, what did you learn from this lesson? I learned that Christ's dying breath gained our salvation. After the cry, "It is finished," and then he gave up the ghost and nature responded, that's when his mission to save Eve, his whole people, both from that time to this, it was achieved.
Number six, what did I learn from this lesson? There was so much things that was being mentioned that before when I read the Desire Ages for the first time, I didn't really see until now. I noticed that the Lord, when he gave up his life, that salvation that he gave to this world so we can be reconciled to the Father, also the angels and the universe was also benefit to his death. It is amazing that the universe was no longer going to have that taunting of the enemy, because being that Satan was defeated at Calvary, even the angels were glorifying God for the sacrifice that he had made. Also, what I saw is that as soon as when he said he was finished, and I saw the earthquake and just nature involved of what the Savior had done for us, having his Father to actually rent the curtain, he made a way for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Besides, he giving us his life and our reconciliation for us to go back to the Father, there was also things that he had granted us. With Christ's death, he now is able to give us of his spirit. Because if you remember in the beginning, when our parents had fell because of sin, the Father had said that my spirit shall not dwell with man because he has become flesh. And now with the reconciliation, we have the ability to get his spirit through his son. And it is just so much things that we have been given through the death of Christ. Before, when I was grew up in a Catholic kind of belief, not necessarily like doctrinal, because it's just like you will have to just become a Catholic only because you was in Spanish country. But I noticed that the beauty of Calvary was never given, because the only thing we saw was just the crucifix, and it didn't really have a personal relationship with the actual victim. But I thank God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, by individually searching and reading and studying, it makes a much greater the appreciation. Because if you don't know the victim and the holiness of his character, and what he was doing it for, it is just an image that they have all over. If you notice, everybody's using it, putting it on their neck. It doesn't matter if you're heathen or you're Catholic or whatever. But the whole thing about it is that getting to be able to go deep to find out about who is the one that died is the true beauty of what Calvary is all about. Now I understand why Sister White was saying that in the last days, one of the things that we should try to be able to study even deeper is Calvary. And this is what I have learned in this 10 lessons so far. And I'm still learning because there's little things here and there that sometimes you may overlook. But by reading it again, the Lord can be able to bring it forth. Anybody else would like to be able to share their ones? We can continue in our study. We have thoughts and poem and special music. The thoughts is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book, Testimony to Ministers and Gospel Workers, entitled The Victory's Life, pages 519, paragraph 1 to 520, paragraph 1. Our opening scripture is taken from Jeremiah 32, 38 and 41, and it reads, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
I rejoice in the bright prospects of the future, and so may you. Be cheerful and praise the Lord for his loving kindness. That which you cannot understand, commit to him. He loves you and pities your every weakness. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It would not satisfy the heart of the infinite one to give those who love his son a lesser blessing than he gives his son.
Satan seeks to draw our minds away from the mighty helper, to lead us to ponder over our degeneration of soul. But though Jesus sees the guilt of the past, he speaks pardon, and we should not dishonor him by doubting his love. The feeling of guiltiness must be laid at the foot of the cross, who will poison the springs of life. But when Satan thrusts his threatenings upon you, turn from them, and come for your soul the promises of God. The cloud may be dark in itself, but when filled with the light of heaven, it turns to the brightness of gold, for the glory of God rests upon it. The Testimonies to Ministers, page 518, paragraph 3.
God's children are not to be subject to feelings and emotions. When they fluctuate between hope and fear, the heart of Christ is hurt, for he has given them unmistakable evidence of his love. He wants them to be established, strengthened, and settled in the most holy faith. He wants them to do the work he has given them. Then their hearts will become in his hands as sacred harps, every chord of which will send forth praise and thanksgiving to the one sent by God to take away the sins of the world. I believe it's Testimony to Ministry, page 518, paragraph 4. Christ's love for his children is as tender as it is strong, and it is stronger than death, for he died to purchase our salvation and to make us one with him. Mystically and eternally one.
Okay. So strong is his love that it controls all his powers and employs the vast resources of heaven in doing his people good. It is without variableness or shadow of turning, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Although sin has existed for ages, trying to counteract this love and ashut its flowing earthward, it still flows in rich currents to those for whom Christ died. Testimonies to Ministers, page 519, paragraph 1.
God loves the sinless angels who do his service and are obedient to all his commands, but he does not give them grace they have never needed, for they have never sinned. Grace is an attribute shown to undeserving human beings. We did not seek after it. It was sent in search of us. God rejoices to bestow grace upon all who hunger and thirst for it, not because we are worthy, but because we are unworthy. Our need is the qualification which gives us the assurance that we shall receive the gift. Testimony to Ministry, page 519, paragraph 2.
It should not be difficult to remember that the Lord desires you to lay your troubles and perplexities at his feet and leave them there. Go to him saying, Lord, my burdens are too heavy for me to carry. Wilt thou bear them for me? And he will answer, I will take them. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. I will take your sins and will give you peace. Banish no longer your self-respect, for I have bought you with the price of my own blood. You are mine. Your weakened will I will strengthen. Your remorse for sin I will remove. Testimonies to Ministers, page 519, paragraph 3.
I am he, the Lord declares, that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Respond to the calls of God's mercy and say, I will trust in the Lord and be comforted. I will praise the Lord, for his anger is turned away. I will rejoice in God, who gives the victory. Testimonies to Ministry, 520, verse 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Savior. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are coming in. The poem is entitled, Jesus Christ Came into the World to Save Sinners. This was taken from Children Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 2, Lesson 11. From page 252 of the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1. Low at noon, 'tis sudden night. Darkness covers all the day. Rocks are rending at the sight. Children, can you tell me why? What can all these wonders be? Jesus died at Calvary.
Stretched upon the cross, behold, how his tender limbs are torn. For a royal crown of gold, they have made him one of thorn. Cruel hands that dare to err to bind, thorn upon a brow so kind.
See, the blood is falling fast from his forehead and his side. Listen, he has breathed his last. With a mighty groan he died. Children, shall I tell you why Jesus condescends to die?
He who was a king above left his kingdom for a grave, out of pity and of love, that the guilty he might save. Down to this sad world he flew for such little ones as you.
You were wretched, weak, and vile. You deserved his holy frown, but he saw you with a smile, and he, to save you, hastened down. Listen, children, this is why Jesus consented to die. Come in. You can read. That would be great.
Thank you, dear sister. Hold on.
Come then, children, come and see. Lift your little hand to pray. Bless Jesus, pardon me. Help a guilty infant say, since it was for such as I, thou didst condescend to die.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the scripture song is the beautiful gift that the Heavenly Father has given us, and that will be Jesus. This special music is taken from beautiful scripture folk song, Christian folk music, scripture song number 1 by Patty Vianen from Book of James, chapter 1, verse 17 to 20, King James.
For the wrath of my
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to hold our testimony to maybe the ending of our services, because I think I went up a little bit. So next week, we will begin a new chapter in our lesson book entitled, It Is Finished, in our study book, The Desire Ages. If any one of the dear brethren, mommy, daddy, or even little ones would like to close their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Thank you, dear Lord, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for the sun that is shining. Thank you for all the participation of the little ones and their parents. Thank you for the blessing that you have given us. Thank you for your great sacrifice, dear Father. We are not worthy, but Father Jesus, thank you for having mercy upon us. Be with us as we go into the next section of the study. Bless the speaker. Continue to bless us, Father Jesus. Continue to keep our eyes and our minds stayed on thee, Lord. Bless us and keep us, I pray, in all the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will be in lesson 402, a new chapter 79, entitled It Is Finished. And that will be held February 17, 2024. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.